नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। संथाय गोराय बुधाय गुणधर्मिने निर्विशेषाय सम्याय नमो ज्ञानकनाय च I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudev, who is all-pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Narasimhadev, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varahadev, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, to Lord Buddha, and to all the other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance within this material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the previous verses, it has been described that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, He accepts innumerable forms to favor His devotees and kill the demons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that they are like the waves of a river. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and no one can count how many waves there are. Similarly, no one can calculate when and how the different incarnations of the Lord appear. According to the necessities of time, place, and candidates, the Lord appears perpetually. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the material world, there is always the possibility of deviation from Krishna consciousness, and therefore Krishna and his devotees always act in various forms to curb such godlessness. Even impersonalists who stress the knowledge feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead want to merge into the effulgence of the Lord. Therefore, here the word jnana ganaya indicates that for atheists who disbelieve in the form and existence of the Lord, all these various incarnations appear. Since the Lord comes to teach in so many ways, no one can say that there is no God. The word jnana ganaya is specifically used here to refer to those whose knowledge has become solidified by dint of their searching for the Lord through speculative philosophical understanding. Superficial knowledge is useless for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one's knowledge becomes extremely intense and deep, one understands Vasudev. Vasudeva Saravamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. A jnani attains this stage after many, many births. Therefore, the word jnana ghanaya is used here. The word shantaya indicates that Lord Vasudev is situated in everyone's heart, but does not act with the living entity. Impersonalists, jnanis, realize Vasudev when they are fully mature in knowledge. Vasudeva Saravamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, entitled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, text number 12. We find here Gajendra is in the severest trauma, a most painful condition, both physically as well as emotionally. Physically, for such a long time during this fight, he has the teeth of a crocodile sinking deeply through his flesh into his body. Elephants have very tough outer flesh. But you go beneath the layer and they're as sensitive as anyone else. The jaws of this crocodile, we can't imagine how strong they must be. Gajendra doesn't only have the power of an elephant, but the king of the elephants in a heavenly planet. He is extremely strong, perhaps thousands of times stronger than a worldly elephant that we know. And yet, for so many years, with all of his strength, he cannot get out of the jaws of this crocodile. He's trapped. And it explains here that the crocodile is getting stronger and stronger as they're fighting. Because he's in the water, he's getting nourishment. Gajendra is getting weaker and weaker. This means the crocodile is biting harder and deeper into his body. Very painful condition. And emotionally, how painful. He's about to lose his life. His wife, many wives, his children, all of his friends and subjects are standing and watching him deteriorate. They're standing and watching the king, the champion of their lives, being totally defeated. Very emotionally painful. For one who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. In this state, Gajendra fights and fights and fights, similar to Draupadi. Draupadi was also fighting for her life. For her, chastity was more important than life itself. When she was pulling on that sari against Dushasana, it was even more than fighting for her life. She was a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya would rather die than run on the battlefield. We see how Bali Maharaj, he would rather lose everything. He would rather die than tell a lie. Just as a Kshatriya would rather die than run from a battle, for a Kshatriya woman, better to die than to be insulted in such a way of being stripped naked in front of all of these men. So when she was fighting with her words, she was pleading, she was insulting, she was begging. Through her strength, she was fighting for more than her life. And the Pandavas stood by, couldn't do anything. Bhishma. All the others in the assembly just stood and watched as the crocodile of Dushasana was stripping her. And she tried to fight, but she had no chance. Then she threw her arms up. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. When she chanted the holy names, it was not just to get her rounds done. It was with very sincere feeling. Queen Kunti prayed that those who are too much attached to high birth, to beauty, to knowledge and fame and strength, these same opulences that are so dear to materialistic people, that they will spend their whole lives trying to achieve, they are the greatest disqualifications for a devotee. Because they make one proud, or they make one complacent. And then even if you chant the holy name, it is not with sincere feeling. Tvam akinchana gocharam. Krishna is the property of those who feel I have nothing but you, my Lord. There's nothing that can protect me. The world is a dreary void without you, my Lord. That is the mood in which Draupadi threw her hands up and surrendered and chanted the names of God. In a very similar way, Gajendra is in the same circumstance that we are reading today. Dushasana was pulling the sari. Gajendra's pulling his leg back into the water. In both cases, they're pulling away their life. They're pulling away everything that's dear to them, everything that's meaningful to them. In both cases, their most dear well-wishers, lovers, and everybody else are assembled, watching, and helpless, nobody's lifting a finger to do anything because there's nothing they could do. They're both in mortal pain, both emotionally, and in this case, very much physically. It would have been very difficult for Gajendra to throw up his arms like Draupadi. So his equivalent was to throw up his trunk. And he cries out for Krishna's help through these beautiful prayers. It's not like someone who, you know, just ritualistically chants thousands of prayers every morning as part of their routine of beginning the day. That's very good. But the prayers are the package by which we send a message to Krishna or to God according to our particular religion. You have an envelope. You may even have the right address on it. Some people put the wrong address on. You have an envelope. If you're not worshiping the right God, then you're putting the wrong address on. But even if you're worshiping the right God, as we understand through parampara, through proper guru, sadhu, and shastra, and the right address is on, still, it's not the envelope that people are impressed with. It's the content inside the envelope. Yes? When you send a letter, people open the envelope and throw it, and they're concerned with what's inside. What is inside is our bhava, our feelings, our intent. As Srila Prabhupada writes very strongly, that Krishna accepts the intent of a devotee's actions, words. Gajendra is helpless. Gajendra is desperate. He's at a state where he raises his trunk, he offers a lotus flower to the sky, and he's surrendering his life. We see by the content of his heart, which is being manifested in these prayers, he's not asking Krishna, please save my life. He's realized the futility of material life, even in his exalted position. He's crying out to Krishna, accept me, I surrender, I'm yours. And in this kind of an emergency situation, one really has to believe in what they're doing. Gajendra has full faith that Krishna will save him. And amazingly, he didn't practice bhakti his whole life. Whatever advancement he made was in a previous life. He was an advanced devotee. He was a king in Jajumna. He ruled his kingdom. And then for spiritual purposes, he gave up his home and everything and went to the forest for spiritual life. Somehow or other, he was cursed by a sage to become an animal. And as an animal, he forgot everything, because he was so caught up in his animal existence. But here we find that in the most critical part of his entire life, he's still at the prime of his youth, all those past spiritual credits, neha bikramanasosti pratyavayonivityati svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobhaya. Krishna's there for him. He forgot Krishna, but Krishna never forgot the devotional service he rendered to him, and is coming to him at the greatest time of need. Krishna, who is within the heart, the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, is reawakening his remembrance in his bhakti. And he has such faith that Krishna's here for me. We find that in this verse. That Krishna, Vasudev, is all-pervading. He's everywhere. He is in everyone's heart. That means he's in my heart. He's in the crocodile's heart. He's watching. He's hearing. He knows exactly what I'm going through. He knows that I'm surrendering to him, and he's here. And he is glorifying Krishna for his various avatars. In his heart, he's feeling, I know that you hear me. I know that you're here. I know that you're with me, and you'll accept my surrender. When Prahlad was thrown into the ocean, when he was thrown off massive cliffs, when he was thrown into pits of snakes, when he was thrown in blazing fire, he surrendered to you, and my Lord, you were there to protect him, to accept his devotion. And when Hiranyakashipu personally, with his own sword, was about to slay Prahlad, Prahlad surrendered to you, and you appeared from a pillar. The least conspicuous place for the Supreme Absolute Truth to appear, from a pillar. There are so many pillars everywhere. As Lord Narasimhadev. If the Lord can appear from a pillar, that means he can appear anywhere, in any situation for a devotee. The Lord is unlimited. We cry out for Krishna. It's not that, you know, Kamsa has to come to our neighborhood and Devaki and Vasudev have to get married and then six children and then, you know, finally Krishna's born and then he helps us. Krishna could be born in an instant in any situation. It just so happened that the closest thing by to them when Hiranyakashipu was about to kill him was a pillar. Is he in this pillar? It was the closest thing. Prahlad said yes. To protect the word of Prahlad, to make sure everybody knows when my devotee speaks, it is true. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. The Lord appeared from the pillar in this most amazing form. All odds were against Prahlad from a material perspective. Hiranyakashipu was about to kill that little five-year-old child. And Hiranyakashipu already had all those benedictions of Brahma. Now, Hiranyakashipu was a great scholar. He was a powerful logician. And he figured it out. He was there for a long time in doing that tapasya. And he had a lot to think about. And he was figuring things out. And he figured out exactly what benedictions he was going to ask for. It was meticulous, it was complete, thorough. It would make him immortal. He knew it. And he knew the powers of Vishnu. He already killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. And he was going to declare war against Vishnu. He was making himself immortal. There was no chance for Prahlad materially. But the Lord not only appeared from the pillar in the nearest place possible, he not only protected Prahlad's word, but he appeared in this type of form in the particular place, neither in the twilight, neither morning, afternoon, or night, neither inside or outside. It was at the doorstep. He was not any living entity created by Lord Brahma. He was neither a man or an animal. He didn't kill him with weapons. He didn't kill him in the sky and the earth or in the water. Lord Narasingadev, it's not that he was, trying to figure out exactly what time, where, how. Instantaneously, he appeared perfectly, where none of the blessings of Brahma were violated. And he saved Prahlad, not only physically, but he took Prahlad as his own little child. He gave Prahlad the highest revelations of love of God. And similarly, when the earth was plunged into the Garbhodak ocean, Brahma, the demigods, everybody, they didn't know what to do. Hiranyaksha was really, really creating havoc. No one could stand before him. But right at that moment, at the moment of the greatest need, the Supreme Lord appears as Varahadeva, a boar. The perfect form to lift up the earth and with his tusks and put it right back in its place. And with a single hit of his hoof and pierce of his tusk, Hiranyaksha was finished. How the Lord appeared right then, right there, at that time. And as Dattatreya, at the time when there was rampant ignorance within this world, he appeared perfectly to explain knowledge. And Lord Buddha, who saved millions and millions of cows that were being slaughtered, by coming just at the right time and teaching ahimsa. And according to time, place, and circumstance, preparing for the bhakti acharyas to spread love of God. The Lord who has no material qualities. In this case, in his situation, having no material qualities means when everything is materially completely impossible for us, it's very simple for the Lord to come and intervene because he's beyond material creation. He's abhigya and he's swarat. He's all-knowing, he's all-pervading, and he's completely independent. And he's offering obeisances to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. The Lord's all-pervading energy through his impersonal Brahman effulgence, he's also experiencing and witnessing everything that exists. For a Vaishnav, the impersonal Brahman is the personal bodily rays of the Absolute Truth. So we find here Gajendra in his condition. He has complete faith. He's not offering a prayer that, maybe the Lord will come. I hope he comes. I hope he hears me. I hope he exists. Have any of you ever chanted with that frame of mind? We chant in a very, very dangerous situation. We're chanting the holy names, and we may be thinking, I hope Krishna exists. I really need him, and I hope he hears me, and I hope he reciprocates. In other words, we're practicing bhakti, but we don't have complete shraddha, nishtha. Nishtha means very, very deep and strong faith. This is preliminary to bhava, or to love awakening within our hearts, is we have very strong foundational faith in whatever we do. When we're making a garland, we have such faith that Krishna at this very moment is accepting my service. When we're sitting in Bhagavatam class, when we're chanting our rounds, when we're doing kirtan, when we're sweeping the floor or washing the walls or whatever service we're doing, management or book distribution or taking care of our child or our parents or studying in school with a spiritual purpose. Whatever service we may be doing, it's important that we have complete faith that here and now, at this very moment, Krishna is present. Present in my heart, present in between every atom, present in the effulgence of Brahman, present in the moon and in the sun, present, watching, hearing, responding, accepting my efforts. And if I'm doing it properly, Krishna at this very moment is pleased with me. That is bhakti. Not I'll please Krishna tomorrow, today, you know, there's just some other things I have to deal with in my mind. Tomorrow never comes in that sense. Gajendra is not thinking, well, he was trying to do things on his own. He was thinking so many things. But when finally he decided to surrender to Krishna, it was here and now. It wasn't about the future or the past. So we should be convinced that yes, Krishna's here. And he's accepting what I'm doing. And when we have that conviction, then we can put our complete heart into what we're doing. Because bhakti is about offering our love in whatever we do. How could we actually offer our love with substance if we're not even convinced that Krishna's right here at this moment watching and accepting? So this faith is very, very critical. Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, they explain that we gain shraddha or faith by associating with devotees and hearing and chanting with them especially. And if we find that our faith is not so strong, we really seriously need to develop it by associating with people who have faith, by serving people who have faith, by hearing from people who have faith, by practicing what's favorable for development of that faith and avoiding those things that are unfavorable for cultivating that shraddha. Because at the time of the greatest need, we're going to have to call out for Krishna with faith that he hears us and that he's with us. Otherwise, what type of calling out will it be? It will be an envelope, maybe with nothing inside, or with an illegible message. Gajendra, he's teaching us how we are supposed to process
all the amazing teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes. We read about Prahlad and Varahadev and so many other incarnations. Now, we may know the story. We may tell them to our children in nice ways as they're going to sleep, which is very, very good. But like Gajendra, we should understand how to respond to situations as these great souls have responded, and how, if we do, the Lord will be with us. Whether Gajendra knows it or not, in his following in the footsteps of all these great souls he's naming, and with his total faith that the Lord is there at that moment to save him, due to these historical episodes, his situation is going to be another one of those historical episodes. It's one of the most inspiring stories that have ever come to Brahma's creation, the story of Gajendra. Yes, he is surrendering and crying out God's names in a prayerful mood with complete faith. That yes. And when we are in the most dangerous type of situation, or any situation, even right now when things seem to be all right, we should be confident, as Narahari was there for Prahlad, as Varahadev was there for the people of the universe. The Lord within my heart is there, and he's watching, and he's accepting, and he will help me, he will save me. See, for us, we should know that even when things are good, we need to be saved. It's not only when we're on the verge of death that we need to be saved. We definitely need it then. But even in good times, we need to be saved. We are taught to chant like Gajendra, even when it's nice weather and everyone's nice to us. And things are just flourishing all around my life. We're supposed to chant like Gajendra even at that time. And we should know that the crocodile of illusion, even when things are really good, we're in those jaws. As soon as we come into material existence, unless we're in pure devotional consciousness, transcendental to the bodily concept, transcendental to the mental and intellectual concepts of life, you're in the jaws of the crocodile. Sometimes it squeezes in one way, and sometimes it kind of releases a little, but you're still in the jaws. You're still under control of material energy. So when we know that, the scriptures are all full of so many explanations of the dangers of material existence, what material existence is about. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. There's danger at every stop. So even when things are good, we don't have much faith in that stuff. We try to do our service and do the best we can when it's good, when it's bad, whatever it is. But we're in the jaws of the crocodile. The aim of life is not to have a few minutes more enjoyment while in the jaws of the crocodile. The aim of life is not, you know, to get someone to give you some painkillers so it doesn't hurt so much when you're in the jaws of the crocodile. The aim of life is to get out of the jaws of the crocodile. whether in happiness or distress or honor or dishonor, success or failure, pleasure or pain, health or disease, whether we're being born or we're about to die, we're in the jaws of the crocodile. Whether we win or lose on this worldly platform, it's all happening in these jaws. We're explaining, Maya's crocodile has many teeth. Some feel good. Some feel good. Sometimes it squeezes another kind of teeth and just see, I have become so successful. I'm being honored so nicely. But then, you know, another tooth. Everything seems to be taken away. So we're in the jaws. And the content of our message to Krishna has to be with the faith that right now, at this moment, he's here. Whatever little service I'm performing, I'm doing it like Gajendra. He offered that lotus flower. Yes? He actually offered a lotus flower. But in that lotus flower, he was offering his body, his mind, his words, his life, his everything. So we have ladies making garlands. Each flower, you're making an offering. Are you doing it in the mood of Gajendra? That I'm offering my life in this flower. And in everything we do, we should be offering our heart. We should be offering our surrender. Doesn't matter what the world thinks. The world can't save you. When Gajendra was lifting that lotus flower to the sky to offer it, now, he knew that Krishna was there, even though all there was sky. He didn't see anything. Nobody else saw anything except just sky everywhere. But he's taking that lotus flower and offering these prayers of love to Krishna, to the sky. Now people around are thinking, who's he talking to? There's nobody up there. Away. He's offering his lotus flower to the sky. You know, I mean, what does the sky need lotus flowers for? But he had complete faith. I don't see him. I don't hear him. I don't feel him. But I know he's there. I know. Because he was there for Prahlad. And he was there for Dhruva. And he was there for Devaki and Vasudev. He's always there. He's within the heart. He's within everything. He hears me. He had complete faith that Krishna was accepting that lotus flower and his life and soul within it. Because he had such feeling. And we're going to read very soon that Krishna is about to descend personally, incarnate. And Krishna can incarnate anywhere at any time to save his devotee. No limitations. Right out of the sky, Krishna comes with Garuda, with a chakra, and cuts that crocodile's mouth, which means mukti, liberation. But that wasn't all. Because he surrendered his life, he picked up Gajendra, awarded him his original spiritual form, put him in an airplane, and sent him to Vaikuntha on that very day. We have to have faith in this. And this is what Srila Prabhupada so strongly tried to instill within our hearts. We have to have faith in Krishna's unlimited, inconceivable power. love for his devotees. Prabhupada said certain things at certain times because devotees and everybody else in society, to one degree or another, have learned to have faith in mundane alternatives to God. Whether it's politics, or whether it's philosophical speculation, or whether it's science. People put so much faith in science, which, when it comes to science in regard to the origin of the universe and the origin of the species, it's filled with speculation. Yes, there is logical, observable facts and evidence. But what's tying it all together is a lot of speculation which cannot be proven. There's no real evidence of it. There's evidence of what it might be, what we think it is. But what is it? What is the cause of all causes? Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandita. Krishna clears it all up. Be a scientist, that's very good, but understand this foundational principle. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly worship me with all their hearts. So do your science and worship me with all your hearts, and then it's perfect. But Srila Prabhupada saw that people, whatever their motives, some are good and some are bad. Some are really trying to help society. Some are have their egos. But it's not perfect. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, descends into this world and gives us his scripture and gives us the perfect understanding of reality. So Prabhupada wanted us to have faith in that. That yes, if Krishna wants to enlighten and save an elephant, Krishna can do it. If Krishna wants to appear from a pillar, he can do it to show his love for his devotee. All the stories of the Bhagavatam, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, are stories of how Krishna is there to protect the love of his devotees and how his devotees have that faith that he is here. And they surrender with love. All of these great scriptures are about the reciprocation of God's love. Some of the other Vedas and Upanishads are about how God is everywhere and in everything. And then these Puranas and Itihastas are teaching us how he personally reciprocates through everything and in everything with his devotees. In this way, whatever we do could be with real bhakti, real feeling, real bhava. At each moment, when we are chanting our japa or doing kirtan, at each moment, we have the ultimate supreme opportunity to connect to Krishna, to attract Krishna, to shower his infinite mercy upon us, according to how sincerely we chant the holy names. Such an opportunity. Srila Prabhupada said, if you just one time chant the holy name with that feeling of complete surrender, your life becomes perfect. That means just one time, any day during japa, if you can just chant one time like Gajendra, in that spirit of faith and surrender and humility,
Trinarapi sunichena taror ibasi hishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Gajendra is more humble than a blade of grass as he is chanting the names of the Lord. My Lord, I am yours.
Maro birako bijo icha tohar nitya dasa pratitua adhikar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying like Gajendra, like Draupadi. My Lord, if you want to protect me, nothing can harm me. If you want to destroy me, nothing can save me. My Lord, I'm yours. You can do anything you want. You can protect me, you can kill me. I'm yours. Do what you like, because I'm your servant eternally. Ashlisya vapadaratham panashtu mama darshana manamahatam kurotuba. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya has prayed. You can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You could trample on me, or you can embrace me. You have every right to deal with me in any way you like. This spirit of surrender. Krishna, I'm yours. And you're here. And you hear me. And you can do anything at any time. If Krishna wants to, he can incarnate from any of these light bulbs in this chandelier. But are you calling upon him with the faith to induce him to do that? He's everywhere, waiting for us. This is the spirit Gajendra is teaching us to chant the holy name. In the spirit of Gajendra, much louder, please. Thank you very much. One question? Yes, Krishna Nam Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a very nice class. Every time we hear you, really tugs our heart, saying with so much conviction. Maharaj, as you said, when things are good, everything is going on nicely at that time, you know, we really don't take that much shelter of Krishna, although we need to. At the same time, when we are having bad days. Now, we understand this theoretically, Maharaj, but the fear is always there in our heart that when things are going to go bad, which they will definitely do, it's only a matter of time. At that time, are we really going to be taking shelter of Krishna? Or are we going to be taking shelter of material nature? Are we going to be making all sorts of arrangements by which we somehow or the other tide over that situation? Or at that time, where whether we are really going to, from the bottom of our heart, cry out for Krishna, just like how Gajendra did. So this fear is always there, Maharaj, in the heart. So how does one reconcile?
The fear is very nice fear. Fear should not make us paranoid, depressed, or miserable. But healthy fear should make us very alert
and serious. Because factually, we condition ourselves at every moment. Whether things are good or things are bad, every time we take shelter of the alternatives of the crocodile has us and is also providing so many alternatives to keep us in its jaws. Maya. So we should know and we should expect that at every moment, in every situation, Maya is going to provide so many attractive alternatives to Krishna, to take shelter of, to enjoy. When you try to enjoy something, you're taking shelter of that thing. Yes? In one sense, you want pleasure. You want pleasure, you need pleasure because of an emptiness in your heart. And this thing is providing pleasure, so you're actually taking shelter of that thing. But you're not just taking shelter of that thing, you're taking shelter of material energy that is attracting you to that thing. Rajaguna or Tamaguna are saying, you'll find pleasure here, you'll find relief here. You'll find, and when we go there, we're looking for shelter. And we become conditioned to that. Every time we go to some object for shelter or some manifestation of material energy, whatever it may be, we are creating that habit within us. So when things get really bad, we're going to probably start turning to those things because it's habitual. So in whatever situation we have, bhakti is about reconditioning our habits. Learning to find pleasure in making Krishna happy. That means devotional service. When we seek shelter in devotional service, when we seek our happiness in devotional service, when we seek our refuge in devotional service, every time we do that, we are conditioning ourselves in that way. It's like the good dog and the bad dog. The more you feed the bad dog that's telling you to take shelter of Maya, the more it becomes very powerful calling within our heart and controls us. But every time we feed that divine nature, that calling of toward bhakti, toward devotional service, that calling, that voice, that tendency is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger within us. So we should always be sincerely trying to cultivate love of God at each moment. Does that answer your question? Devamrita Prabhu, would you like to speak something to us? Anything you like? Please pass him the microphone. Whatever message you would like to give to our devotees, since you are here with us.
Hare Krishna. Yesterday I'm so happy and grateful to sit and hear this class again after a long time. And everyone here is so fortunate that they can do it so often. So just a request that everyone can do this more and more, because you are here in Bombay City and the oasis is here, the divine oasis. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very, very much.